You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 28 April. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, Viv Govender, I want to touch on, we're starting to see some big tech results. Alphabet, Microsoft, still knocking it out the park. Renewable energy company, Rovigo, listing tomorrow. I'm going to be chatting to their CEO about the business and about their offering. And then chatting with Marvel Douglas, the light at the end of the tunnel for SA. They'll be chatting with Bernard Drosky. Our poll, which goes back to Thursday, Friday, we were asking you about that idea of instant aging whiskey. We chatted with Distillic and to get a sense around it. The short answer is that there's legal implications. But we asked you if you would be keen. 24% of you said keen. That was me. 38% said, nope, it's cheating. Okay, that was me being scolded. 20% said you don't drink. And 18% said you would prefer your beer or your wine. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Government says auto sector look to accelerate new energy vehicle production in South Africa. And we're not talking batteries here, because, hey, Eskom, really focusing on hydrogen economy. This is Minister Patel. I'll keep an eye on that, but that's a big ask. Business Day, former Delta Property Fund executives maintain innocence after write-downs. This is just messy, 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 and not going away anytime soon either. I remember NAV was 10 rand, share was 3 rand. Turns out that NAV wasn't 10. US markets red, S&P down less than a point, 0.02%. NASDAQ off 0.3%. Asia is green, Sydney up 0.5, Tokyo up 0.4%. Commodities mostly red overnight, gold 1,771. Rand weaker on our public holiday, trading 1440. Top 40 opening call from Monday's close, we're looking a little under 300 points down. It's about 0.4% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Viv Govender. He is a portfolio manager, Rand Swiss. Viv, morning. Appreciate your time. We're seeing some results I mentioned in my intro there from the big techs. Alphabet came out, earnings, the revenue beat was 34%. Microsoft, biggest revenue growth since 2018. These large guys, and we've got Amazon tomorrow, we've got Apple later today after the close in New York. Not so much the Zooms, but these big established players who really benefited from lockdown, they're continuing. They're using the benefit of the last year and accelerating, if anything, going forward.
Yes. I mean, I was just chatting to some friends over the weekend, and they just mentioned the fact that until the lockdown occurred, they had Teams installed on their PCs.
Yeah.
But they really weren't using it. And then, at the moment, it becomes a central point of how they function as workers, you know what I mean? And I think that is the key aspect. You've been forced to use all these functions. And some of them have actually gotten better over the last year or so, the Skype integration and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And that has just made, Microsoft an even more key part of your office and business life. So I do think it's something that's not just going to be lasting through the lockdown. It's really going to be something that's going to be, affecting how you do business for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, no, I remember it was Amazon who said they did sort of like, they'd been growing at 1% a year or something, or gaining market share in the retail space, and they basically got a decade in the lockdown period, a decade of growth. I mean, this is fundamentally, to your point, changing the businesses. It changes the investment case as well, because they have become so much more integrated. Their growth going forward is potentially so much bigger. These companies are different and massively more profitable than they were, and therefore perhaps some folks who were perhaps not so convinced by valuations worth a new look at these.
Oh yes, I mean, look, these trends, some of them are going to be reversed, you know, but I do think we are seeing a sea change in just how people are operating in their lives effectively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I first saw it happen, the lockdown occurred. I thought to myself, it was just the borderline, how long it takes to change a habit. You know, it takes about, I think, 30 to 60 days to change a habit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at that point in time, a lockdown was going to be about a month.
I remember that.
And we went well beyond that 60-day limit. So I think there are going to be habits that are permanently changed. And the effect that's going to have on the world, I think we've spoken about this before, is probably beyond my pay grade. I just can't, you know, factor in all the differences in terms of what will and will not be the implications. All I know is that changes are coming through. Things that I would expect it to have happened, things like, for instance, a drop back in, for instance, luxury goods spending. I would have thought that would be something people would be willing to do in an environment where there's austerity and whatnot. But as you saw with the Super League, you know, a little while back, rich people really don't have that much shade when it comes to trying to make money or trying to spend money. It's an interesting factor that we are seeing, I think, what probably like an inflection point in a number of industries around this particular event.
Yeah, I got caught in that luxury theory as well. But I take your point, and I think it was you sometime last year who mentioned to me this is going to be an epoch moment, and I agree, we're still learning exactly how this is actually going to shake out. Viv Govender, Portfolio Manager, Rand Swiss, appreciate the early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting to Rivigus, Energy Africa Fund CEO and Rayburn Hendricks. They will be listing tomorrow. We chatted last year around it, well ahead of that listing. Rayburn, appreciate your early morning this morning. And disclaimer up front, I've applied for allocation. My broker hasn't yet got back to me. In essence, your business is renewable energy, and it's the renewable energy part that's quite important. And sub-Saharan Africa, if I look at the map, this is not just South Africa. Where do you and your team get involved? Are you funding? Are you building? Are you buying already up and running developments across the continent?
Good morning, Simon. Thank you for your time this morning. I just appreciate the airtime. So I'm Rivigo Africa Energy Limited. It's a yield focused fund which will invest in a portfolio of predominantly operational renewable energy assets. In sub-Saharan Africa, we've assembled an initial portfolio which is only in South Africa, which is equity stakes in four wind farms and two concentrated solar farms, and so that's where we tend to play is in the equity of these investments of these wind farms and these solar farms, as I mentioned, the portfolio is predominantly in South Africa because that's where like the bulk of the opportunities are. And important thing to say is that these investments are like relatively de-risked in that we at the stage that Vega invests, these wind farms and these solar farms have been running for some time.
And there's typically there's an offtake agreement in place. And you mentioned yield focused. I mean that's one of the apart from the renewable energy and that's a fundamentally sort of different asset class from typically what we see on the JSE. Your target dividend from that 10 rand listing price. I mean you're looking at around an 8 to 10% dividend yield, which is part of the attraction. And you know there's no certainties ever in life, but you've probably got offtake agreements in place. You've probably got a relative confidence around that yield.
Yes, so let me just explain to you about like the main feature which leads to like, de-risking of these assets is the offtake agreement or the power purchase agreement.
Mm-hmm.
These are 20 years in length from the time these wind farms and solar farms are being operating. There's also a government guarantee to the extent that Eskom does not pay Any payments to the project companies, and in addition, there are termination payments for any breach of contract, which will restitute the debt holders and equity shareholders. Typically, these offtake agreements are also linked to CPI, mm-hmm. which means that there's a great deal of inflation protection. So, but the reason why we think there's a lot of uncertainty is that we've got very long-term offtake agreements with a government guarantee and with inflation protection. So, those are the elements. This leads us to have a lot of certainty about the stability and predictability of the underlying cash flows, and it's off of that that we've been able to forecast the initial dividend yield, which you said is really a range of 8 to 10%. Mm-hmm. We are looking to increase this dividend yield over time, ultimately from the initial portfolio giving shareholders a yield to maturity of 11%.
And will you always be coming in at the, you mentioned that in South Africa it is a case of these are projects already up and coming. I mean, will you have some investments in time that perhaps, because certainly you're looking to increase the size of the fund over the next couple of years, where you might come in at the development stage ahead of sort of, you know, the it being up and running?
Yes, so you are correct. In the fund mandate, we do have discretion to allocate up to 10% of the fund to development assets, which assets are prior to the operational phase. I think we'll only get to that point once the fund has a sufficient scale. At the moment, there's enough opportunities in the operational space. I mean, just to give you a sense of the size, through rounds 1 through 4 of the South African renewable program, there's been approximately 112 projects which have been awarded at cost 60 billion rands worth of equity. I think the market value must be higher by now. So at a 1.5 billion rand our listing, we're a very small percentage of it. So there's enough room for us to grow before we need to start looking at going up the risk curves.
Okay, now I hear you there. I hadn't run those numbers yet, but I take your point. So maybe let's call it 100 billion. There is an absolute huge amount. Listing proposed for tomorrow, 10 rand. Share code RVG, if my memory serves correct, once you want to the JSE.
That's correct, RVG.
We'll leave that there. As I said, I've applied for allocation. I will hear from my broker hopefully today and hopefully successful. Rabin Hendricks, CEO, Rovigo Africa Limited. A very different idea coming to our market, and I think attractive. Certainly, you know, renewable energy is a different space, is a different asset class, and is a different way it responds, that security we get, and of course that dividend yield. Appreciate the early morning time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now, Bernard Drusky. He's Chief Investment Officer from Melville Douglas. A note that was sent out last week, and the headline just caught me absolutely. In a sense, positivity around the light at the end of the tunnel for South Africa. Bernard, morning. Appreciate your time. 2020, a horror year. We get that. No one argues that point. Your recent note was talking around the sort of aggressive derating. When you're talking that derating, I mean, part of it's share price. I mean, valuations also, I mean, part of this equation.
Yes, no, that is absolutely correct. I mean, we've, as you rightly pointed out, have experienced quite a difficult time in South Africa. Not unique to given the implications of COVID on the economy and obviously the market as well. But I mean, the sort of derating has been across all assets, if you think about it, especially during the course of last year. So at one stage, the currency depreciated very significantly. Since then, it has appreciated a little bit, given the improvement in the outlook for global growth. Our trade account has improved, etc. But if you look at our share market, although it has recovered very significantly, many of the domestic companies, for instance, the domestic shares, are still offering good value.
Yeah, those sort of the SA Incs, as we colloquially refer to them. And you make the point that, I mean, they're still at the lower end of that historical range, and that's exactly what you're mentioning there. Yes, they've recovered off the lows of March last year, but if you look at the range and look at those earnings, that there's real value sitting there.
Yeah, we would agree with that. So, you know, if you think about what has happened to many of these companies, especially the sort of domestic-orientated businesses, you know, many of those companies were basically forced to cut their dividends last year.
Mm-hmm.
And for, you know, just given the environment, banks are basically asked to stop paying out dividends in support for the economy. And as things start to normalize and the economy starts to reopen, you would expect, you know, dividend payments to also start improving. So, you know, if you just look at these companies and you assume that over the next few years the dividend payments will start to normalize, many of these companies are still attractive from that point of view. You know, if I think of some of the banking stocks, if you had to normalize for their dividends, you know, in a few years' time, you'll be looking at 6-7% from a dividend yield point of view. So, just from that point of view, from a valuation point of view, we think there is good value. We don't think that any of the potential good news in the economy, in terms of the restructuring, reforms, etc., is priced in our market at this stage. And you know, if we look at the valuation for many of specifically, again, as I mentioned, the domestic-oriented companies, the banks, retailers, et cetera, are well below the long-term mean. So it is a function of lack of growth and lack of confidence, but our view is that is where the opportunities are.
And you mentioned there, and it's an important point, you know, we're not talking sort of, you know, Christmas this year. We're talking a couple of years out. But there is, and I like your point there, there is perhaps some skepticism from the market generally. But what that then does is it gives that opportunity. I mean, this is why we're seeing it. The fact that some investors out there are not convinced by the potential recoveries is why we're seeing that potential valuation over the, you know, and unwinding over the next, you know, 2-3, maybe even 5 years out.
No, absolutely. And look, investment is a long term game. So it's not about the next month or even, as you say, the next year. Sometimes one needs to be patient. But, you know, I think what many investors sometimes forget is the fact that the global economy is recovering and has rebounded very strongly. We expect growth, you know, global growth this year to be well above 6% and possibly above 4% next year. Now, in that sort of environment, South Africa stands to benefit from it. Ideally, we would like to benefit much more from it, but obviously due to the lack of capacity and infrastructure and et cetera, you know, we probably won't be able to participate the way we would normally just expect. But even so, the global economy is recovering. We will benefit from that. Our manufacturing sector and commodity, and especially our mining sector, are currently benefiting from it, given the much higher commodity prices. And those things definitely will filter through the rest of the economy as well. And then maybe just to add, apart from the structural reforms that are slowly taking place, and I would stress probably too slow, we're also sitting in an environment where interest rates are very, very low compared to history. So, you know, historically, lower interest rates certainly has been helpful for the economy. So those benefits will probably start to see coming through later this year and into next year. But the key thing for us is really to turn around the confidence. So, you know, while you've got the reforms taking place, you know, the scrutiny on certain politicians, et cetera, and those that have committed crime, at some point in time, we would expect some improvement in confidence, and with some improvement in confidence, you know, the key thing is to get the investment cycle going.
Yeah, I take that, and I like your point. I mean, the interest rates, absolutely, low rates usually help, and we need that confidence returning. We need those structural reforms. That's really what's going to sort of be the big deal here. Bernard Drosky, Chief Investment Officer at Melville Douglas, appreciate the early morning. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 32, a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. Our poll today, which will be on both the MoneyWeb Twitter and LinkedIn profiles, Rivigo, as I said, listing tomorrow, targeting an 8-10% yield. Listing at 10 rand, that was the initial price. Is this something you're interested in? Is renewable energy or perhaps that dividend yield something which is attractive to you? Options, absolutely not for you, or perhaps have a look. I did some digging and I want you to get in the head. Liquidity might be the concern here. In other words, just not enough trade happening. But for me, it's question, absolutely. But have your say on our Twitter and LinkedIn accounts. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available wherever you get great podcasts, or the app and the website for MoneyWeb just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Matapela, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.